challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115.
Todd will not be affected by his downgraded security clearance. Kushner, one of several people in the White House having their clearances downgraded. That spokesperson also said there haven't been any concerns.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients'
will
futures,
not be affected
helping
by
millions
his
of Americans
downgraded
retire
security
on their terms.
Clearance. Kushner, one of
want,
several people in the White
want,
House,
doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Offices located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You can save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance just by switching to Geico. And with that money, you can buy the swankiest of rides for your tiny duo to cruise around in. Right on down to potty training town. Hashtag twins, hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive, my owner had to give up half-decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
A Superior Court judge will decide today whether a lawsuit can go forward involving the gun used in the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting.
The lawsuit was filed by nine families and a school administrator who had loved ones killed in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre in 2012. Now they argue that the AR-15 assault rifle that Adam Lanza used to kill 26 students and staff was not suitable for civilian use when the company began selling it. However, the gun maker Bushmaster says they're protected by a law that prevents gun manufacturers from being sued when their weapons are used in a crime. If this lawsuit is successful, it could stop the sale of AR-15s to the public. Scott Pringle, Connecticut.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders faces an uphill battle in his effort to win the Democratic presidential nomination. The New York Times estimates that rival Hillary Clinton has already secured more than 500 delegates, while Sanders has only 70. Nearly 2,400 delegates are needed to win the nomination. This is USA Radio News.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive, my owner had to give up half-decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit Geico.com today.
And, you know, wherever
voters in South Carolina have the Democratic primary coming up on Saturday, while Republican candidates are looking towards tomorrow night's Nevada caucus. Missouri's primary is March 15th, the same day as Florida, Illinois, Ohio, and North Carolina. The mild winter has been sour on the ski slopes, but sweet on the trees.
All right, you may not hit the slopes this winter, but you're going to have lots of New York State maple syrup to slather on your pancakes. The mild winter has the sap boiling already, one of the earliest starts ever. Upper Hudson maple syrup producers tell the New York Times they started putting taps in trees as early as late December. And thanks to the warm temps, the sap's been flowing, and another record level of syrup is expected. It may even beat last year's production of over 600,000 gallons. Alice Stockton Rossini, New York.
Men are making more money than women on eBay. Researchers say women make 20% less than men on average when selling the exact same new product on the online auction site. Israeli researchers who conducted the study analyzed more than a million eBay transactions from 2009 to 2012. They found that not only did identical items bring higher prices for male sellers, men also got about 10% more bids than women did. The study is published in the journal Science Advances. And the Star Wars experience is coming to Disney theme parks. Disney says the attraction will include a virtual reality ride and encounters with aliens and droids. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The weather today is going to be sunny with a high near 48. North winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 28. Calm winds becoming northeast around 6 miles per hour, and that'll be after midnight. Tuesday, a chance of rain, mainly after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Be mostly cloudy with a high near 41. East wind 7 to 10 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 40%. And accumulation amounts of a tenth of an inch are possible. Tuesday night, rain likely, mainly before 8 o'clock. It'll be cloudy with a low around 33. Northeast winds, 11 miles an hour. There's a 60% chance of rain. And new rain amounts could be a tenth to a quarter of an inch. Wednesday, rain likely, mainly afternoon, and cloudy with a high near 51. The winds will be 7 to 10 miles an hour, and they'll be from the east, and the chance of precipitation is 70%. The new precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half an inch possible, and Wednesday night rain, low around 45, 80% chance of it raining, and the amounts accumulating three quarters to an inch is possible. Welcome to the Huntington Chamber Commerce Radio Show, and this is the Huntington Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Barbara Surhoff.
Hello, Larry.
Hello. And Barbara is with the oncology department, and I got a question later, but right now, what is your role with that department?
I'm the physical therapist for that department. So okay. I've been a physical therapist with Huntington Medical Center for about 17 years.
Whoa,
and,
okay.
And doing mostly orthopedics in White House Station, the White House
okay.
Health and Wellness.
Yeah. Right.
But most recently, the last 2 years, I've been taking education in oncology physical therapy. So my role right now is to develop the oncology rehabilitation or physical therapy oncology program, which is really attached to the Huntington Regional Cancer Center, but is an adjunct to physical therapy department.
I'm only working on an assumption, but I'm assuming that oncology is cancer.
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Then why do we call it oncology and not cancer rehab? Just out of, you know, my own personal, I looked at it and I says, mm-hmm. well, you know, so I looked up on oncology and you know,
yes.
I'm saying, well, why not just call it cancer? They named the center the cancer center. Why don't they just, you know.
I think it comes more from the physical therapy end of things.
Okay.
So when they're referring to certain specialties, whether they call it orthopedic, they don't call it bone specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And their medical term for cancer would be oncology. So when the physical therapy, let's say the Association for Physical Therapy, was looking at developing specialty and specialty courses, the title that all the cancer diagnoses fell into would they called oncology
okay.
as their medical term.
All right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What is rehab for oncology?
So rehab for oncology would include both physical and occupational therapy for anybody who has a cancer diagnosis, and people can be recently diagnosed. They can be undergoing treatment right at this time. They could have completed their treatment already years ago. But the physical, and I'm doing just physical therapy, but the physical therapy would be more specific to someone who's gone through that type of treatment. And there are specific concerns. So one of the most obvious ones is some of the chemotherapy drugs may cause heart damage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were just to walk, say you want to get stronger, you would just walk into a regular physical therapy department, orthopedically based, they may not be as in tune with watching your vital signs and symptoms of the heart damage. But in oncology rehab, we would be more specific to that.
Okay. Do you find that when someone is diagnosed with, I'll call it cancer, some people, okay, I got it. What do I do to fix it? And other people are, like, very depressed about it. Do you find that to be true?
Either one can be true. I find, though, that once people made the decision to what treatment they're going to do, they're pretty brave. They get very strong. They're determined. They're looking to finish that treatment, become a survivor. So I usually find the people I come across are very directed. They know what they want, especially from physical therapy. They have a course of treatment they're going to follow through with. So not too many are depressed. There might be more tired, feeling weak from the treatment on a physical level, but they're fairly courageous, directed people, more so.
It's, I had it. They told me they caught it very early, but they, you know, said I had a touch of pancreatic cancer,
mm-hmm.
and they caught it early and took care of it and everything. And so all my thing years later, seven years, I think, later, they haven't found anything and it's still, you know, good and all
yes.
that. But I know when they told me, you know, they made sure they told me it was very, you know, early stages, you know, yada, yada. But I said, cancer's cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's early stage, late stage, whatever. It's cancer.
Yes.
You know, I was very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also determined to do whatever they told me to do to get rid of it, you
yes.
know, or correct it or fix it or whatever. And they referred me, well, medical center referred mm-hmm. me to, I think he's working out at a medical center now, but was a doctor. He was down in Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
And he used radioactive seeds
yes.
that they implanted.
Mm-hmm.
And some people said, well, what are you doing? You know, I says, well, the cancer center told me that it was too early and I shouldn't have to go through all the, you know, radiology and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, chemotherapy and all that. So the doctor there recommended him. And in fact, he called him while I was sitting in the office, you know.
Right.
And it's worked out fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have told me something else, I would have done that too. You
right.
know, it's just a matter of doing it and getting it over with, you know, or getting rid of it, you know.
Yes.
And thank you, God.
That's
I'm, you know, I'm still clean,
right.
so that's a good thing,
right.
you know.
And you mentioned about when you first heard, there is a certain amount of shock that people are feeling. They're in shock. They can't believe that this is the news they're hearing. They're
right.
have been very relatively healthy, and all of a sudden you get something as devastating as a cancer
sure.
diagnosis.
Right, you know, and it's like, you know, all you basically hear about, you don't hear about all the people that recovered from
mm-hmm.
it. You hear about
That's
all the
right.
people who didn't recover from
yes.
it, you know. And, yeah, you go through this up and down, you know, what do I do and what should I do and what
mm-hmm.
shouldn't I do and, you know, and then you're, you know, blaming yourself for what you could have done 10 years
mm-hmm.
prior, and there's really not a whole lot you could have done, you know, so.
Yeah.
But
I think people are bolstered more now because there's so many survivors. There's
yeah.
so many people with stories like
right.
yours, and the numbers are, anything you read, the numbers are going up so tremendously. So
and that's great.
Yes.
You know, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, it is,
yes.
you know, for anybody, you know, I mean, for any, you know, when you, you know, you hear about young children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and they're talking about, well, you know, all the smoking. Well, you know, this 5-year-old didn't smoke. You know?
Right, right.
And it's
yes.
like, you know, I mean, I did, but
mm-hmm.
she didn't, you know.
Yes.
And we've lost a niece who was
mm-hmm.
12.
Wow.
From severe cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she struggled for a couple of years with it and then finally, you know, took her.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, you can't say it was cigarettes or, you know, nicotine or whatever, because it wasn't. She never smoked.
Right, no.
You
Nothing
know,
she did right could possibly cause that type of diagnosis.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's just
true, though, with a lot of adults also.
Yeah.
They often are non-smokers,
sure.
healthy, live healthy, they exercise and still
yeah.
it happens.
No, it's
yeah.
true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people get cancer because of cigarette smoking
mm-hmm.
and cigar smoking and what have you, pipe and whatever else you can
mm-hmm.
smoke. But, you know, I think in many cases it's not either, you know.
Right.
I'm sure you find mm-hmm. that also to be
yes.
true.
Yes. I mean, yeah. smoking definitely puts you at a higher risk for cancer. It puts you at a higher risk for almost every medical diagnosis
yeah.
that's out there.
Exactly.
The risk is raised with smoking.
I quit 27 years ago.
Very good.
Yeah.
But I still have a touch of emphysema from it. But thank God it's only a small touch.
Good.
But where's the oncology rehab located at? What was it at? It's not at the hospital.
It's at the hospital.
It is.
Okay. So it's a recently renovated room. So I have two doors to the room. One is attached right to the cancer center.
Okay.
So the other door, if you actually walk in the main lobby of the hospital, the first door on the left is mine. So there's some people haven't even noticed that there's a door in the lobby, but the first door on the left, it says physical therapy, oncology, rehab. And you can walk into my room
from
that
the main entrance?
From the main entrance.
By admitting?
Yes. So if you walk in the main entrance, immediately to your right is the Bagel Cafe.
Right.
I'm immediately to the left. So you have to turn left. There's a couple of couches, and there's my door.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be billing, I believe.
Billing or something in there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
But that's me now.
Okay.
And they did a beautiful job with the renovation. So I have all the front windows of the hospital, big open exercise space, and a private treatment room also. They really did a very, very nice job with it. But then if you'd say you're having your chemotherapy that day or your radiation, you can walk directly over to my room from the cancer center.
Right.
So the other end opens to that.
Yeah, because when I volunteer there on Fridays.
Okay.
And it's by that podium that's by admitting.
Yes, oh, sure.
So, you know, when you were saying, whoa, wait a minute. Well, I'm trying to think where it was, you know. Then, oh, yeah, that used to be billing, you know, and then they're in with admitting
that's
now.
That's right.
So,
they're in admitting. Yep.
Okay. When someone, what's a criteria that someone would need to be admitted to oncology rehab?
So to do physical therapy with me in oncology rehab, you really need to have a cancer diagnosis. After that, it's more what would be appropriate for you to come in. What kind of concerns do you have? Probably the most common concerns are people are fatigued from their treatment. Some will tell you they're weak from the treatment. Sometimes from the date of diagnosis through the treatment and sometimes a little while after the treatment, they haven't exercised at all. They're not even sure it's safe to exercise, so they haven't done it. So it's more do people have concerns that relate to physical function that they would come into me. So fatigue is the most common, weakness. But sometimes it's after surgery, especially breast surgery. There's stiffness in the shoulder, sometimes stiffness in the soft tissue throughout the trunk. So any of those kinds of needs would be appropriate for me. And the other biggie is loss of where their balance is off, and that's often sometimes because of the weakness, but sometimes because of the neuropathy or numbness in your feet, which can be a common side effect of some of the chemotherapy drugs. So what we do with that is take a look at how their balance is right now and how they can work on it, because hopefully the neuropathy is temporary, the numbness is temporary. But temporary could be 3-4 years. And in the meantime, your balance can get worse.
Right.
So those kind of concerns would be appropriate for coming in. But the biggie is probably loss of an exercise program. People haven't been doing any type of exercise program since they were diagnosed. They're feeling weaker. If they're feeling weaker, they're not tolerating their treatment well. So often that's when the oncologists send them over and say, we need to get you moving again.
I'm going to go off the chart.
Sure.
How did you get into this? When you were graduating high school, going to go to college or whatever, was this what you had in mind to do?
Yes.
Or?
Well, physical therapy certainly was. In high school, I was a freshman, and they had a career day. And I do speak at career days now because it's so near and dear to me. But they had a career day, and physical therapy was one of the speakers, one of the professionals that came and spoke to us. And like I said, what does that make me, 15, 16? And I just thought it sounded like a wonderful career. You're working with people, you're on the go. So I then volunteered at Overlook Hospital.
Okay.
So I was a volunteer through high school and volunteered in the physical therapy department. And so I knew by the, when I left high school that that's what I wanted to do. So I applied to, then it was a bachelor's program in physical therapy. So I applied to only programs that I got a bachelor's degree in physical therapy. Yeah. So, and I'm very, it's a good question, and I just feel very, very fortunate that I've found a profession that 35 years later I still love.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just, I ask that of most people, not only in this show, but the one I do previously. Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get into being a psychologist or, you know, psychiatrist or whatever, yeah. you know, and a lot of people say, like you, what you mm-hmm. said, it's something, you know, blah, 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 I've been doing since I've. Wanted to do since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Other people says, I don't know, I went to college and, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
I did this and I did that and mm-hmm. you know, yada, yada. But I was just curious,
sure.
you know. You know
I could tell you though, oncology is a little different because as a physical therapist, I've worked in inpatient rehab, spinal cord injury, stroke, amputees. I said most recently mm-hmm. just orthopedic outpatient that I've done for Hunterdon Medical Center. But about 2 years ago, the cancer center did ask my boss if there was some physical therapists who would be interested in doing just cancer physical therapy. So that's when that started, like 2 years ago. I thought, back then I was 55, and I thought I really needed something new to dig into. And I had done a cancer unit once before at JFK Hospital in Edison. So that's when I started taking courses, and I thought this is just really a lot of interesting new things to learn, somewhere I can make a difference.
Do you ever get depressed when you see people?
I feel like I'm – so the unit only opened in December. So I treated – they were sending me some people at White House, but really being fully treating people with cancer diagnosis, I only started in December. So I have to say no, not so
not
far.
Yet.
No. They're happy to be in physical therapy. They're often telling me how much better they're feeling. So overall, it's a very positive experience.
Well, that's good because, you know – personally,
mm-hmm.
I would get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these people coming in and they all have cancer. Yeah, they've gone through operations or whatever. And you just wonder, you know, mm-hmm. is it going to last them the rest of their lives and, you know, whatever. And I don't know. I in one way, it's very great and it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, very satisfying, you know, to see somebody come in that's using a walker and then, you know, get him to walk on their own.
Right,
and, you know,
exactly.
So I can understand that.
Uh-huh.
It's just that I think that it would get me after a while or it would reach me, you know, where I'd get, you know.
Yeah. Well, but, so not so far, but like I said, I haven't really been there that long. I think there might always be a combination of that, though, as you go along.
Yeah. You know. And I think, you know, the joys of seeing someone, you know, progress
mm-hmm.
from, you know, like level 1 to level 10.
Right.
That's awesome, you know, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And here you're too. You're part of the team, so you also they may be progressing physically, but then you also hear about how well treatment is going. You know, the tumor shrunk; it's gone.
Right.
So you do hear a lot of good news when you're there.
So, in order for someone to become a candidate, they'd mm-hmm. have to A, have cancer.
Yes.
And do. Most people who have cancer need therapy?
Well, I have to say there's been a lot of referrals, and most of the time it's the medical oncologists, and people are bringing up to them that I'm not getting around the house, I feel like I don't have any energy, I always have to take a nap. So they are referring. A lot of people are coming over, and I think they're happy to have an answer for that too.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, makes sense. All right. Here comes one.
Okay.
What can they expect when they come for therapy? What kind of therapies do you do?
So
I mean, obviously it's based on the extent of their illness, and you know, you're not going to have them lifting 100 pound weights if they can't barely walk. But what?
So they're let's say we call it their plan of care. Their plan of care, it depends on what I found when we first did the evaluation,
okay.
Whether there's specific weaknesses, whether there's something difficult with walking, doing stairs, even getting in and out of bed. If just cardio-wise, if I put them on, say, the bicycle and they can only go 3 minutes and they're exhausted, if they just recently had a surgery, then it might be actually me doing some manual therapy, which is considered stretching or mobilizing soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be really any of those things, and it's going to be – the plan is going to be according to their needs and their concerns. So I definitely can't make a plan of care without them telling me what they think really brought them to physical therapy and what they're most – concerned about.
Was the physical therapy in White House at the Health and Wellness Center there?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes.
I just, up until recently, I belonged to the one in Clinton.
Okay. And there's a department there too.
Right.
Right.
That's why I was just curious, you know.
Yes. But I don't know if I answered you completely. They will, that we do have free weights and exercise bands, all those kinds of things for strengthening, things that you can easily carry over to home. And we have a lot of cardio equipment for them to work on. And I probably will train somebody more intermittently. So let's say you use it for 3 minutes, rest for two, use it for three, rest for two, something so that we can build up the stamina.
Right,
Because most of these people who have finished chemo and radiation, it's really taking its toll.
Right.
It's a little bit harder to get back to the cardio work.
Yeah, I can understand that. It just amazes me that, you know, you see people or you talk to people and they, oh yeah, well I had, you know, and you look at them, you say, really? You know, you did? You know, yes. It's like, whoa, really?
Right.
You know, but, well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. And I'm Larry Cartwright, and our guest is Barbara Surhoff, who is a rehab, oncology rehab specialist.
You got it.
I added specialist. I just, you know, but she is a specialist.
Yeah.
But we'll be right back in just a few moments, so hang in there.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Ho, ho, ho. It's that time of year to come out and enjoy the Hunterdon Holiday Parade, sponsored by my good friends at Hunterdon Radiological Associates. This year, all my friends and I will be parading down Main Street in Flemington starting at 5 p.m. on Sunday, December 6th, snow or shine. Ho, ho, ho. Thank you to ShopRite of Flemington, the Flemington Bid, the Borough of Flemington, Liberty Village Premium Outlets, Fusco's Rental World, and Witham Smith and Brown for their hospitality to me and my elves. If you miss it, I may need to recheck my list. I'll see you there. Happy holidays.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and our guest is Barbara Surhoff, who is an oncologist rehab specialist. I know that you had mentioned some of the exercise equipment. When someone comes and I am assuming you assess them.
Yes, that's right. Right,
as to what they can or can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you determine what machines to put them on? Is it because sure. what they want to achieve or what you think they have to achieve to get a better life?
So if we're looking at the machines are really the arm bike, stationary bikes.
What was the first one?
The arm bike. It's one where you do just your arms and rotate around.
Oh, I don't know that one. I know the stationary bike. You know.
They have them in the gyms now, the arm bikes. Upright stationary bike, you have a recumbent one where you have a bigger seat, you're more supportive. We have what we call the seated elliptical. In the gyms, they're usually called the new steps,
okay.
where you sit and do both arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
How do we decide? A lot of the times I start with if they have a certain piece of equipment at home that they know that
gathering
they want to use.
Gathering dust that they haven't That's used right. in 20 years,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. Get the clothes off of that. And,
yeah.
So a lot of times we'll go with that. Sometimes they have a former routine that they were doing at a gym. And if they liked it, then we'll try to go back to that
right,
with
right.
that kind of thing. There are sometimes other special concerns. Someone may have a cancer diagnosis, but they may have lumbar spine stenosis. Say, and they'll find that they need the recumbent bike or the seat, the back of the seat to, mm-hmm. to support themselves to do that.
Sure.
Sometimes I want more of an arm component with it, and that would be the seated elliptical because that has both arms, the feet, and the arms that they can work while they're doing it and is very comfortable.
Yeah, that's the one that goes forward and back with the
that,
arms.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a great machine. And sometimes they'll come right out and tell you, I hate the bike. I don't put me on that. So a lot of the decision is that way. And again, sometimes there's certain ones I don't choose because they may also have a knee problem. And then I have to accommodate for that.
Right. Well, I know, like, I had both my knees replaced.
Uh-huh.
So there's certain things I don't like to do.
Right.
It was ironic. My wife's a walker. She doesn't belong to any gym or anything.
Oh, no.
But we live in a country. Mm-hmm. So a walk for her is like 2 miles, go around a block.
Right.
And she says, why don't you come with me? I said, all right. And I just had my knees done. Well, mm-hmm. It's not level ground.
Okay.
It goes up and down and up and down, you know, mm-hmm. hills and valleys there, you know. And I was dying. Mm-hmm. By the time I got home, I could hardly walk. So I talked to my doctor, the surgeon who did the knees, and he says, well, what were you walking up and down hills for? He says, you'll walk on level ground.
Right.
He says, and it won't bother you at all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Having the walking program, that's always one that hopefully everybody can get to. Let's say they don't want to join a gym, they don't want a piece of equipment in the house. They can transfer any cardio conditioning they've done with me to a walking program. And some people say, well, it's bad weather, I don't have a neighborhood, I can walk outside. But there is the mall, if you're by, let's say, Bridgewater Mall, right, that you can walk. But some of our shopping centers are so huge. If you take a look at Lowe's and Walmart,
sure.
So I tell them you can literally walk around the inside perimeter and just don't stop to shop yet.
Right.
But keep
just
going.
Just keep going.
Keep
yeah.
going. Get
your a couple laps around
right.
it. You know.
Get your time in, and you can shop after that. But there's just, always, you know, a place to walk.
Because I know, like, the Health and Wellness in Clinton mm-hmm. has a. What do you call
their
it?
Their
track.
Yes.
Right. But it's all level.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
I never had any problem walking on that.
Right.
You know, it's walking
right.
up the hills and down. Yes. I don't have trouble with them. I can do them going uh-huh. up and down stairs. Thank God I live in a ranch.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
But, you know, it's just stairways. Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a level place to walk. Also, there's a lot of people who just regularly walk a level walking path, and they stay in very good shape, and they stay very healthy, and they feel good. And sometimes we think we have to continuously challenge ourselves. But if you can do a regular, easy to medium
right.
routine that you like and you keep doing, you can stay very healthy with it.
Right, right. So. There was one here. Oh, anti-gravity treadmill.
Yes.
What is an anti-gravity? I've seen treadmills all over the place,
right.
but what is an anti-gravity one?
So the anti-gravity treadmill's it's starting to get popular in rehab centers. You will hear it advertised on the radio, but it's a treadmill that was originally designed by NASA to train astronauts to exercise with gravity, to be able to walk a treadmill even though they don't have gravity. So the way it was recently designed more commercial to be used in rehab centers, I'd say over the last 4 or 5 years, and you literally step onto the treadmill and an apparatus comes up around you and you zipper into what looks like a large plastic bag, say. It then calibrates to your weight. So the air fills the bag and it calibrates to your own weight. And once it does that, I can adjust the treadmill. So let's say someone right now I have on it, I adjust it down to 70%. So she's walking on the treadmill, but the amount of air in there displaces 30% of her body weight. So it's a lot easier for her to walk. So rather, because she's so weak and fatigued,
right.
she might get frustrated walking on a treadmill and say, 5 minutes, that's it, tops, I'm done. Take away 30% and she's walking for 20 minutes. And then what we do is as sessions go on, we may change it and only take away 20% of her body weight. Mm. Or we may keep it there and have her walk a little faster, just whatever we can do to get her conditioned.
How do you get people to continue mm-hmm. once they start? You know, all right, they go to your center and they, mm-hmm. you know, they do their thing and forever, how many long months or whatever it is. How do we get them to continue it once they're released from therapy?
So we start that right from day one. So like you said before, we do an evaluation. We make a plan of care. We talk about how much we're going to schedule and for how long we're going to go. But we start a home exercise program immediately. So they're going home with some exercises to do at home. And the expectation is that on the days they're not coming into physical therapy, they're going to be doing some exercises at home. So hopefully the headset is there right from the start, is that this isn't just something that takes place in physical therapy. It's something you have to be doing some certain amount of exercises at home and that continue to do that. And then there's two ways that gets carried on. One is the education behind the fact that when we're done, if you really want to keep benefit from this, you have to say, do these home exercises three times a week, and maybe not every day, but at least three times a week. But the other thing we do try to do is, if the person is looking for that, is get them connected in the community. And this community has a lot of things. We've mentioned the White House and the Clinton Health and Wellness, which will give actually a discounted membership to anybody who's coming out of outpatient therapy. Mm-hmm. There's the Live Strong program at the YMCA on Church Road, which gives a free membership for 3 months when they first join. The Senior Center has a lot. Flemington Senior Center has a lot of nice programs and classes that are going on there. And I'm sure there's others, but we try to get people connected somehow in the community where they're going out there and they're starting to look forward to doing something active. Hmm. And they continue to do it.
Do you find that many continue it or some drop out of it after they get out of yours where they have to do it?
Right.
And they're not being supervised. Do you find that they not do it?
Right. There's some of each. There's some people, there's also the pool programs. I didn't even mention that, but some people go in the pool. I run into some people and it's 5 years later, let's say they're at the gym, I'm at the gym, and they'll tell me, you know, I'm still doing that pool program. I love it. I switched to Zumba. I love it. Mm-hmm. They've been going ever since. But there are some people who come back to me in physical therapy and say, my shoulder's bothering me again, and it started when I stopped doing those exercises you gave me. And you'd say, okay, well, maybe you should have started them again. But sometimes they need that connection with the professional to, right, to get started again.
Right.
So,
yeah, I just, you know, it's like I told you, I had my knees, both mm-hmm. my knees replaced.
Yes.
So prior to having it done, the doctor who did it, his orthopedic group, mm. are the orthopedic surgeons for the New York Jets, the football team.
Okay, sure.
But he's out of Cedar Knolls and did it out of Morristown.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to Morristown before they have him doing it. And they gave me a little, you know, pamphlet type thing. Mm. And the nurse says, there's six exercises in there. You should do at least twice a day,
mm-hmm.
every day.
Okay.
I looked at it, I read it, and I did it three times a day, mm-hmm. every day. And I get it done. I get the operation. They did both my knees at the same time. And because I didn't want to come back. But no, they told me that my right leg was bone on bone, so there was no cushion there.
Right.
My left leg was 98% bone on bone, so if okay. I only had the one done, I'd be leaning on the other, and that would be, you know, so.
Right.
And I went to rehab,
mm-hmm.
and I was there for 12 days in rehab. And the second day I was there, they bring us to the gym, and they say, okay, you know, if you can get up out of the chair and use a walker to go walk around a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't need the walker, so I used a cane.
Very good.
So I'm walking around, and these people are saying, what are you in for? I said, I have both my knees redone. Yeah. And you're walking with a cane?
Right.
Doesn't it hurt? No. You know,
yeah.
You know, they'd always ask you to 0 to 10 mm-hmm. what the pain is. I'd say, 0. And even a nurse would say, only you can't just have 0.
Right.
Oh, what do you want me to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
1? Okay, 1.
Right.
You know, but I don't have any pain.
No.
And I didn't.
Which is great.
And when I came home, they gave me a thing with like 4 exercises to mm-hmm. do at home.
Okay.
And they said, do them at least once a day. Well, I mm-hmm. would do them at least twice a day. I never had any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to people and they had their one knee done and out, they were, you know, laid up for so long, couldn't walk, couldn't do. I said, well, did they give you any exercises to do before?
Right.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't do them.
So there
really?
You go. Right.
Well, you know, you think mm-hmm. maybe that's why you got the pain?
That's
you
it.
Know?
Well, people do a lot better with their surgery. If they're calling it prehab now. There's a lot of articles on prehab. But they're finding people do a lot better with their surgery if they do exercises before. And their outpatient physical therapy stays are shorter because they did that all before. They don't need much more after that.
You know, it's you're having an operation. Did I want to have it done? No. Did I wish I had it done 10 years prior? Mm-hmm. Yes, because I went for about 10 years where it hurt like the devil, you know. Mm-hmm. But you're going for an operation, and they're telling you, do these, and it has to be a reason why they're telling you to do it. Mm-hmm. They're not saying, oh, do it just because they're, you know, want you to exercise.
Right.
You know, it has to be a reason, and, you know, read the pamphlet. The reason is that they're building your muscles up around your knees and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So if you don't do it, whose fault is that if it hurts?
That's right.
You know.
And you were mentioning before about do you see a lot of people depressed, that kind of thing. Well, exercise and being active also does elevate your mood, and which helps you to if you're feeling better, you know, you're more likely to want to exercise, or you're more likely want to do different activities with friends and family, and all that feeds together with you feeling better and not feeling depressed.
Well, I know I have to force myself sometimes to go to the gym, but then when I get there, I'm fine.
Yes.
It's just I could have not gone. You know?
And then once you do go and you do your routine, you're very
happy. And you
happy
see people you know that's there, you know, like you a couple times a week, and you've met them before and talked to them. But it's also when you're doing your thing, you know, it's like, you don't even think about, well, I shouldn't have been here. I shouldn't have came. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you walk in the door, it's all different now.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I'm here. Here's what I got to do, you know. And, you know, so it's like, it's kind of funny. But like I said, there are days I have to actually force myself to go.
Right.
But once I go, I'm happy, you know. And once I come home, I'm happy, you know.
Right. It's funny because it raises your energy level. It raises your mood.
Right.
And then people also will say that they sleep better. Because they did their
I don't know.
We work on that one.
but you know, it's just if someone comes to your, you know, therapy, what is the average length of time that they're there?
So the average person, if they're trying to get stronger and better endurance, they're going to be coming twice a week for probably 6 weeks. It could be a little longer. It could be a little shorter. But the way we schedule people is very specific to their needs. I've actually had some people who were avid exercisers, and they just wanted to know what was safe to get back to. So they've literally come for one session, and then I've given them a plan, and 2 weeks later they'll come back and check in, and we'll make sure everything's going all right, and that's all they need me for. Some of the breast cancer surgeries really just have a stiff shoulder, and they'll be coming in sometimes just once a week, and 4 weeks later the range is full, they're feeling good. They might be done with me, but then maybe they're going for radiation. Then I'll put them on once every couple of weeks to keep an eye on the joint range of motion and their skin and that kind of thing. So it does vary a lot, but the average for strengthening and endurance would be that twice a week, I'd say anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
I think.
How would someone know that they should do this?
So hopefully they're either in the midst of treatment and they're going to hear about it when they're in the cancer center, or they're speaking to their medical oncologist or their nurse about their physical concerns.
Okay.
And they're going to refer them over. So a way a person can get it is if you're talking to your medical professional, and if the physician may write a prescription, just say oncology rehab. And a lot of people are just, if they're in the Hunterdon Medical Cancer Center, just walking down, just bring the prescription down to me, and we're setting them up for that first appointment, which is 1 hour one-on-one, so that we really can make a good plan of care. Other people are sometimes just hearing about the oncology rehab because the field is growing. There are more and more departments of it, and they may just call in and ask me if they should be, if it's something that could help them. Some people are just stopping by.
Okay.
Sometimes they're not being treated by Hunterdon's Cancer Center. Sometimes they're going into Philadelphia, sometimes New York. But when you think about doing physical therapy regularly, that you really want in your neighborhood.
Pretty local,
so
right.
They're stopping right. by. Physical therapists actually do not need a prescription to treat. We have direct access. What some people do have to check is whether or not their insurance, whether it's a problem with their insurance if they come without a prescription. But more and more insurances are allowing people to come without a prescription. But if they're discussing it with their doctor, their physician assistant, their nurse practitioner, by all means, I think they should get a prescription.
Right.
And this way everybody is getting the same information.
Mm-hmm.
They know
mm-hmm.
their plan.
It's if someone all right, is there a phone number to call?
Yes.
Or?
So the phone number for my department is the 908-237-6040. So that's 237-6040.
908 area code.
908. Yep.
Do you find that sometimes people go through your rehab and come back later?
That is true for physical therapy as a whole, where people will find that they get the answers, they have a good program, they're feeling better. That issue is basically settled. They keep going. But sometimes 6 months, sometimes 6 years later, all of a sudden they're back with a different issue. And they're usually coming back much more quickly. They're taking the initiative to come back because they already know the site, they know the therapist, they know it can help them with their needs. So, yes, they often do come back again with a different issue, usually.
Do you find that someone comes with some sort of cancer
mm-hmm.
And they go through your 6, 8, 10 week whatever program, and now they come back with a different form of cancer?
Not so much. Now, we haven't been open that long. I've only been open since December. I think it would be more, they do come back a lot to the cancer center for their rechecks, knowing when they
right.
need to do another
right.
PET scan, when their blood work.
Right.
So I think that when people probably come back to oncology rehab, it's going to be more because their exercise problem has dropped off, or something in their blood work indicates that maybe they'd benefit from a different maintenance chemo drug, and they might be feeling a certain side effect and think, let me get back to a more regimented exercise program and feel better.
How many therapists do you have in your...
So actually, it's just me right now. I'm the only therapist there right now. But by June, there'll be a second therapist there
okay.
working with me. And then it's a wait and see on how much do we need to grow to take care of the
mm-hmm.
caseload.
Right.
So I started in December. I would say I'm coming close to having a full caseload. We don't have a waiting list, but we're managing to get everybody in who calls.
Right.
But it's pretty full.
Do you anticipate between now and June you might have a waiting list?
I think actually before we get a waiting list, the therapist who's coming over is already in the system.
Okay.
So if we start to get close to that,
so
we're going to start pulling her over.
Yeah, pull
right?
her over.
We're going to try
okay.
to do it without having any waiting list.
All right. Do you find that you have an equal amount of men and women going to your therapy, or is it more women? I just off the top
right.
of my head, actually.
Right.
I was just curious.
My about half my caseload right now is breast cancer.
Yeah.
So that would probably make it more women in
yeah.
On my caseload. If I were to take that out of it and the general fatigue and weakness, then it's probably half and half.
Okay.
Men and women. The women
nice.
Of the breast cancer program we're doing right now, I'm very excited about it because I'm seeing the women the week before they have their surgery. So we have an idea about what we're going to do when they get out. They learn the benefits of
mm-hmm.
Exercise. I give them post-op exercises that they can do day one after their surgery.
Right, right.
And then I see them again 3 weeks after their surgery so I can progress the exercise and see if there's a need
right.
for them to continue with anything.
Right.
And I think they feel better about it too because it's a big surgery and they want to know that there's something they can do that's safe. So we have that in place.
Do you think that it's grown over the years, breast cancer, I mean?
Or yes.
Or has it just become more cognizant that they're picking up on it?
Well, it is. It is growing probably because of early detection. And they know exactly sort of what to do to treat something that's, say, stage one, something that's, you know, very
right.
low risk, but they take care of it right away. So our diagnosing and the scans, all that is so much better.
Like years ago, women have a lump on the side of their breast or
mm-hmm.
something. Nobody ever did anything about it. It
right.
just seemed like, you know, and it's just amazing how, you know, basically how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we have this problem.
Right.
You know?
So we're busier. The
yeah.
treatment centers are busier, but the survivors, the numbers are going up
well.
Like crazy. So.
In the last 30 seconds we have, why don't you give the phone number again to reach out to you?
Sure. It's 908-